Pittsburgh sports fans, welcome back to another episode of Back Through the Tunnel. I'm Jeff Hartman, your host here for this PM ride home, or maybe you're at your home, your PM podcast here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Radio. And joining me today, we're talking baseball, and we're talking baseball that's actually back, meaning players on the field, players hitting, fielding, throwing, catching. It's exciting. Alex Stumpf, our Pirates insider, is with me. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm going to be able to see some of that pitching, hitting, throwing later today. So it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit. I think it might have been on last week's show. You were expected to be there, and everyone was excited. And then, wham, right at the last second, Allegheny County basically said, not so fast. The Pirates said no media are allowed on the premises. But now you're back. So what does that look like for reporters? Are you restricted to a certain area? Are you allowed to roam the concourse? What have they told you?
We are restricted to a couple areas. A lot of these are details between the media and the club, so I'm not going to divulge a whole lot because I don't know how much is confidential. I don't know how much is accessible for public knowledge. But, yeah, we're going to be allowed in. We're going to be allowed in the press box, in the concourse. All the interviews are going to still be done through Zoom anyway. Mm-hmm. But we're actually going to be able to see what's going on, which is going to mean a lot because, you know, you talk to Derek Shelton at the end of the day and be like, Derek, we just saw Gregory Polanco hit three straight balls into the river. I mean, how's that swing look? It's small stuff like that that'll make my life a whole lot easier, I feel like.
Well,
it's tough to write about spring training or summer camp or whatever we're calling this whenever you can't see the summer camp and you're going solely based off of what other people are telling you.
Right. That's the thing. Like, you're going to get firsthand news. And I'm talking to the listeners out there that are wondering what's going to be the difference. If every interview is going to be a Zoom call. Yeah, that stinks because Alex can't go into the clubhouse and talk to Polanco about any maybe things that he's changed on his swing that's causing, you know, launch angle to diff, whatever the case may be. We're not going to get those. Yeah. But what we are going to get is your eyeballs actually watching a practice, in which case you might notice something that no one else does. You might notice an extended bullpen session for a pitcher. You might notice the fact that Adam Frazier's range has improved dramatically in terms of in the field. I'm excited for you all to be back in there. I know that you're excited to be back in there. Out of what we know so far about camp, is there any player that you're hearing, whether it's from the players that have been interviewed, or anything that have kind of stood out that are playing well, that are, whether it's hitting, fielding, whatever?
I'll give you two. The first one being Gregory Polanco. Have heard nothing but good things so far. I know I wrote that piece about Josh Bell saying, hey, that was the best I've seen his arm since he had the surgery, which is great. And the swing's right. But Shelton's saying, you know, the swing looks good. He's running the base as well. He also complimented the arm. The real interesting thing is he was throwing to third base, from right field to third base. And back in Bradenton, he's like, look, I'm not going to put any extra pressure on my arm. I'm just going to hit the cutoff, man. That's the number one thing I can do. You know, just protect the arm. And, yeah, this could just be drills because there could be a scenario where he does have to go for right field. You know, just go for it. But it's good to see that he has the confidence, or at least in practice form, he has the confidence to do something like that. Pitching-wise would be Chad Kuhl. Get to see a whole lot of him back in spring training. And while I never was able to confirm this, it really looked apparent that they were going to limit his innings, you know, this year. And instead of, you know, a lot of teams where, okay, he has a normal spring training and then we limit his innings by he's done in September. He doesn't pitch in September. It looked like the Pirates were going to take it the other direction, knowing that they would probably need extra pitch or they would need extra pitchers over the course of the season. And it would be slowly lead him in through spring training in April. And then his 5 months or whatever it would be May to September. So he comes into this camp, and now the discussion is, okay, no, we actually need to get him a certain amount of innings, you know, this year. We have to put, you know, some work back in that arm. We can't baby it forever. That was never the plan. So it's a much different situation right here. The stuff, the Jacob Stallings descriptions of Chad Cole's pitches, whether it was like just gross, filthy, you know, a lot of good stuff. The curveball is the interesting thing that he brought up. Yeah, it was a pitch that he started to trend up. He started to use a little more in 2017 and then towards the later parts of 2018. But, you know, Justin Message and Oscar Marin in charge, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, how the Pirates use their breaking pitches, how they use their spin. Chad Cole's curveball, I know this is going to get eye rolls, but if you want to just strictly talk about spin and the efficiency of his spin and how much that leads to movement, Chad Cole's curveball is very close to Gerrit Cole's curveball. Mm. You know, both of them have that upper 90 seed. And I'm not saying Chad Cole would beat Gerrit Cole, but there are similarities there. I'm not saying Chad Cole beat Gerrit Cole, but you look at the raw tools. It's like, there's some similarities here.
And you can never have too many arms, arms. You cannot. And especially in a 60-game season where, you know, the Pirates' fifth starter, you know, is it going to be Holland? Who knows? If you can get a guy that's even just a, hey, we just need 4 to 5 innings and we'll turn it over. We've got some long, you know, long relievers that are ready and maybe Cole fits that role. I don't think it's good to hear his name because honestly, it kind of put him on the back burner. Didn't think that he was going to have much of a role, but everything sounds positive there. Now, speaking of positive, and I hate to use that segue, that's awful.
That is an awesome segue.
But speaking of you're welcome. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. The Pirates, you know, you've been hearing a lot of rumors about positive COVID-19 tests, the coronavirus, whatever you want to dub it. The Pirates did have two players. I know that the Pirates players specifically allowed the team to release their names. That's how, you know, early on, I know that you tweeted out a bunch of, you know, hey, they're not going to release names. That's privacy. And then the players said, hey, it's fine. You can tell people that we tested positive. Mm-hmm. Are the MLB and MLBPA, are the players union, are they going to release, is it weekly, the joint numbers, you know, is the 1.2% that we saw last week. Is that going to be a weekly release? How are they handling those positive tests in terms of the union and the league?
I don't know if it's going to be weekly. It is going to be periodically. We're going to be getting those updates throughout the entire season. Yeah, they're going to be making that data available in like a very raw numbers sort of way. So they're not going to release names. That's HIPAA law. That's way above my That's way above my pay grade. I got into sports journalism, so I didn't have to learn a whole lot about HIPAA law and stuff like that. But you know, this break has made me an expert on like tax brackets. Whenever they had that sliding scale. Mm-hmm. Proposal. So I've learned a whole lot more than I expected, you know, these last couple months on the job. We're going to learn more about that. They're not going to release the names unless the players consent. You've seen some big names, you know, across the league actually test positive. Freddie Freeman is probably the biggest one so far, and his teammate, Nick Markakis, you know, talked to him, heard the symptoms, and he's like, you know what, I'm actually not going to play this year. I'm good. It's not worth it. So it's,
well, in terms of baseball in general, like what the heck is Major League Baseball doing? You hear these reports about the Oakland Athletics, the testers weren't even showing up. Players were just doing the test themselves. I'm assuming this is a saliva test, as they're not jamming a Q-tip up their nose. But the players are just testing themselves. The Nationals had to delay a workout or cancel a workout. I'm sorry, because again, they hadn't gotten results back. I understand that Major League Baseball is the front runner here, meaning they're actually back at camp. No other organization is. I'm talking about the big four. The NBA hasn't started up yet. The NHL is still in there. They're getting ready to start their training camp. The Major League Baseball is the trailblazer here. And I think everyone with a logical brain knew there was going to be hiccups. But my goodness, they got to get this stuff wrinkled out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and they use the excuse of, you know, the holiday weekend slowed us down. It's like, oh, if only we knew that the 4th of July would be, you know, a holiday.
Snuck up
if
on us.
If only there was some indication. It's not good. Whenever they released that test, they said, you know, we did 98% of tests through the first testing period. It's like, okay, well, that's not bad. But the first testing period ended July 3rd, and you're supposed to be tested every other day. And it takes 72 hours for tests to get back. They need to get this together fast, because if you're going to have this problem, I mean, do it. I guess it's better to have it now so you can figure out. So if it's like, all right, we have to make a second site in Nashville, or we need to just hire people, you know, 24 hours, we'll work about the overtime later, we'll figure it all out. They can't let this start to stack up. This cannot. The schedule is set in stone. You can't have teams miss a whole lot of summer camp and then go into spring training. This is right now bad, and it could easily snowball into disaster. They need to figure this stuff out. From the Pirates' standpoint, they basically said, we haven't been able to get anything going, you know, significantly in Altoona because we don't have results.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the players in Altoona weren't – it's almost certain none of them were going to make the Major League opening day roster. But those were guys who were going to be called up in the middle of the season potentially. Those were guys who were going to be on the taxi squad. That's – I mean, those guys are important. Maybe not at the very, very beginning of the season, so you could afford to miss the first week or so, but they're going to be important this year. Major League Baseball – needs to make sure that the Pirates can get their alternate site camp going, and teams like the Nationals, Astros, the Athletics, like you mentioned, that they can actually do their job and get ready.
Well, you know, the funny thing is you mentioned how, you know, overtime's like, this is where, because I think this stuff is fixable, and it's fixable by the Major League Baseball flexing their financial muscle and saying, you know what, I don't care what we have to pay you guys. We need these results back. We need the testers to be there no matter what. We'll pay them double. I don't care what they have to do. They have the money to do that. They have the resources to do that. If we want sports back, and I mean we, the general public, the reporters that rely on sports to be back, they have to be better, because the last thing anyone wants to see is, let's say the end of July starts, baseball games are being played, albeit in front of empty seats, and then all of a sudden in early August, the plug gets pulled. That would probably be, in my opinion, the worst case scenario for sports fans based on the excitement of sports back, and then you just get the rug ripped out from underneath you. I think baseball can get this done. I think they will get it done, because I think that everyone's going to be watching them and seeing how do they respond. The criticism has been justifiable, and now it's time for them to kind of say, all right, well, this isn't going to happen again. Now, the last question I have, and you wrote about this the other day on DKPittsburghSports.com. A lot of players, and you brought up Nick Markakis of the Atlanta Braves, have decided to opt out for the upcoming season. Some big names have opted out. David Price. I know there's others that are just escaping my mind right now. But have there been any rumors of any Pittsburgh Pirates at least teetering on, I don't know if I'm going to play, or have you heard anything, any inklings of that at all?
I have not heard any. First of all, just all the Pirates that they expected to come to camp are in camp, and I have not heard any indication that any player is going to opt out of this season. Now, to the Pirates' knowledge, there is no set deadline for someone to opt out. So if a week from now, a player like Brian Reynolds, you know, sees, you know, that the testing is really not going, and maybe Pirates have to shut down their summer camp, and he's like, you know what, I've got a pregnant wife at home, I'm good. That could be a case. It could potentially be in mid-August or even September, if I'm understanding it correctly, and the Pirates are understanding it correctly, that there is no date to opt out. But no, right now, everyone that the Pirates expected to be in camp is in camp. Two players, Cedarlin and Brito, are still, you know, isolated because they tested positive, and they're waiting for results for two or three more players. But besides that, it's pretty normal in Pirates camp right now.
Okay, a couple follow-up questions before our first break. First and foremost, if a player opts out of the season. They do not get paid, correct?
I believe it would be up to the major league team if they want to award pay and service time. But I think that only counts if you are an at-risk person or you live with an at-risk person. So Brian Reynolds would qualify as that live with an at-risk person.
Makes sense. Okay. And then the second question is the NFL and the NFLPA, and I talked to Dale Lally about this yesterday on our podcast, they release their protocols for their training camp and for the preseason, if there is a preseason. They are treating positive cases differently, meaning there's the symptomatic case and there's the asymptomatic case. And the return to play platform for both of those differs. The asymptomatic, so that the person, how they're listening, like, what's he talking about? The person that has no fever, that has no sore throat, that has no cough, that has no, you know, vomiting, whatever the case may be, any of those symptoms, they don't have them. They feel fine. They're completely living their normal life. They don't have to wait as long. They get two negative tests back to back after a certain period of time. They're back. They're good to go. Is baseball differentiating between the two that you know of?
That I know of, no. From what I heard, it's there are a couple protocols you have to get through. The big one being you have to pass two consecutive tests, which, I mean, 72-hour turnaround, that ends up being almost a week.
Yeah.
In that regard. They've been, while we know Brito and Cederlund tested positive, we do not know if they are symptomatic. That's, you know, falling under HIPAA law. That's something that the players would also have to disclose. So I wish I had a better answer for this than Dale, but no, to my understanding, it's you need to pass two consecutive tests whenever you pass, whether you are symptomatic or asymptomatic.
Yeah, in the NFL, I mean, if you're symptomatic, you have those symptoms, a fever, you are out for 10 days minimum. And then only when your symptoms are gone, then you have to pass two more tests in consecutive days that are negative. You have no symptoms, you're good to go. In terms of asymptomatic, it's a little bit different. So we'll see how that goes. And I'm sure, like I said, that the Major League Baseball is blazing the trail for this. And I hope that they get their ducks in a row so that we don't have that rug pulled out from underneath us. But right after this break, Alex and I are going to be talking about the schedule. The Pirates schedule has been released. He's got a lot of good nuggets of information. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Pittsburgh fans, welcome back. I'm joined with Alex. We're talking Pittsburgh Pirates and Major League Baseball news. We just talked about all the testing policies and the opt-out players and all that fun stuff. But now it's time to talk about the schedule. Monday afternoon, it was released. The Pirates schedule was released, 60 games. When you saw it, Alex, was there anything that jumped off the page? You're like, wow, I can't believe the schedule was playing out like this.
I guess the big thing would be, oh man, have fun up at the beginning of the season. I mean, it's going to be a real chance for the Pirates to put up or shut up. I mean, this is a team that, you know, in camp has said, you know, we like this group of guys. We're excited for the season. We feel like, you know, we could maybe do something, especially in a 60-game season. Well, they're going to have to prove it really early on. Going by last year's win percentage, they have the toughest second toughest first two weeks in baseball. And I believe it's 15 out of their first 23 games are on the road.
Wow.
So that's going to be, you know, a challenge right out of the gate. Now, the fortunate part for them is those early games, that's whenever you have the expanded rosters. So maybe you can use your bullpen more aggressively, which, like I've said, I think is the real strength for this team. I mean, that'd be, you know, the trying to look at the glass, you know, a quarter full or an eighth full or whatever percentage it is. It's going to be interesting right out of the gate, because as we've said, this is going to be a really short season. And if they start off, you know, 1-8 or whatever, that's almost the season right there. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to go, you know, 35 and whatever, you know, with those losses already at the start of the season. Conversely, if you go and you win a couple of those early seasons and, you know, even have your head above water at like 5-4 or something, and you get through the first, you know, really tough part of your schedule, and then you got, you know, a road heavy, you know, finale with a lighter schedule, it's like, okay, now wait a minute. Maybe these parts do have something to them.
I'm looking at the schedule right now that was released, and I'm just looking at the July-August schedule. Alex, just keep your bags packed, okay? I mean, just don't even unpack. Just
September will be nice.
Yes, it will be. But I'm looking at this, and once the calendar moves to August, there are only 3 days without baseball, the 17th, 24th, and 27th. I mean, this is going to be fast and furious, and I hope that fans – whether you are all about the Pirates or whether you think they can contend or not, and to me, it doesn't matter. This is just sports getting back, and it's going to be back in a big way because you're not going to have those, well, the Pirates have 2 days off or 3 days off. It's just not going to happen. I mean, they open up on the road in St. Louis starting on the 24th of July. They come back to PNC Park for a three-game set with the Brewers. They get a travel day before going to Chicago, then to Minnesota. I mean, this is going to be frantic from a – journalistic perspective. Do you like this? Do you like that? Hey, let's just keep rolling. Or do you kind of like a couple days to say, you know what, I'd love to actually sit down and digest what I've seen the past few days?
I mean, in a normal baseball season, the thing I love about baseball, one of the things I really love about it is just the summer. There's always baseball going on, and you could pull up a random Monday night, whatever, go on MLB Network, and they're going to have quick pitch. You're going to be able to watch highlights. That's I love that. And those days between, you know, the season and the end of the All-Star break are torturous. It's just a living thing throughout all of that. This is going to be my first season where I freelanced and did other stuff in the past, but this is my first season as full season as a beat reporter. So I'm going to be doing a whole lot more traveling. So maybe I'll come back to, you know, regret these words. I'm excited for it. I mean, yeah, I would like to have, you know, a couple of days, you know, scattered out where it's like, okay, I can take a day off or I can, you know, work on something bigger.
Yeah.
You know, a separate project that isn't just, you know, what's going on at the ballpark, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I miss that. I miss that feeling. I know if this would have been a regular season, I would have fallen asleep on the couch, you know, watching Quick Pitch for the third time, like 36 times already. So I'm looking forward to that. That's just bring back baseball. That's what I miss.
Yes, bring it back. And, you know, it's funny when I used to get when the schedule would be released, and it always gets released really, I would always look at the schedule and I'd always look after the break, after the All-Star break. And I would say to myself, you know what? What are the odds that this series against the Cubs way, you know, deep in the season is going to matter? Well, I'm doing that same thing now. It's out of habit. And I'm looking at September. They have a 4-game stretch. Actually, they have 2 back-to-back 4-game home. It's an 8-game homestand with the Cardinals from September 17th to September 20th, and then the Cubs the 21st to the 24th before they finish up this 60-game season in Cleveland, 3-game set. And I just keep on thinking to myself, man, is that gonna loom large? To me, it absolutely is, because it's only 60 games. You know, this isn't the Pirates are competitive and we have some meaningful games in August. No, I mean, this is going to be a legitimate sprint. I think that's the way that everyone's calling it. This is a sprint, and I'm excited to see what the Pirates can do. If they're competitive, that's awesome. Sports are back. That's even greater, in my opinion. So real quick, obviously the Central divisions are matched up together, the NL and the AL Central. What can you tell us about the AL Central in regards to not just their teams, but are they going to pose a threat? I mean, or are these games that the Pirates could actually be like, hey, we can get back in the race because we have a couple series coming up against those clubs.
Yeah, I think I cannot get serious about Kansas City and Detroit. Those are two of the worst teams in baseball. And two of the teams who it doesn't matter if it's a 60-game season. They're going to be bad. They're not going to have any chance this season. That's almost half of the new teams the Pirates are going to face. That's cool for them. Minnesota, they have – correct me if I'm wrong. You have the schedule in front of you still. They have a home-and-home with them early on, two games each.
Yeah, that would be to tell you, not to interrupt you, that's 3rd and 4th of August and then the 5th and 6th. So they go on the road, and then they're at PNC Park for the 5th and the 6th.
I think the Twins are going to be the best team that the Pirates play this year because they won the 101 games last year, and then they add Josh Donaldson to the mix. So that is a very, very talented group of guys, especially on offense. If there is one saving grace for the Pirates, it's that Derek Shelton knows that team.
Oh, you're right. That's a really good point. I can't believe I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought he was with them last year.
So, I mean, that's a huge advantage that the Pirates have over the Twins that the Twins don't have over the Pirates. I mean, they might know how Derek Shelton manages, but maybe not these guys. So that'll be a benefit for them there. The White Sox, I think, are low-key. They were my sleeper in the American League this year, and I had them going to the playoffs back whenever it was a 162-game season. I think it's a very talented group. Adding Grandal is big. They have a good young core of position players. They're going to break out. The question is it going to be in 2020 or is it going to be in 2021? Shortened season might make it more likely that it's 2020 because, you know, they're young, they're energetic, they're scrappy to just steal an old sports term. And then Cleveland, I do not think is as good as people say. They have about four or five players who run the gamut of being really good to great. You know, the Lindors, the Jose Ramirez's, the Shane Biebers, the Carrascos. But the rest of that team it's not a complete roster. There are a lot of holes on that team. And the way this season goes with health, the way this season goes with injury, it's going to just take one or two injuries for that team to sink. I know I've said the same thing about the Cubs because I think the Cubs are built the same way. They're a very top-heavy club. And, you know, one bad break and that pretty much ends it. But I think Cleveland isn't built for a 60-game season.
It's a really good breakdown because it's out of all the AL divisions that you could potentially play, would this not be the weakest of them all?
This is the one that you would want to play.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, because the East is a bloodbath with the Yankees and the Rays. And the West, I mean, Astros. I think we'd be able to hear trash cans this year without any fans.
That's
a good
point.
That would echo. But the Athletics, the Angels still have Mike Trout. I mean, the Central is the way to go. You just have one juggernaut and one really up-and-coming team, in my opinion. Plus, you get two of the worst teams in baseball. You know,
true. Let's finish this schedule wrap-up with let's just – shine a little light. We're going to dive deep into this in upcoming shows as the season gets closer. What about the NL Central? I mean, this is the Pirates' home division, but how have teams changed for better or for worse? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I just said that the Cubs, you know, are a top-heavy club. David Ross is going to be a first-year manager. And unlike, you know, Derek Shelton, who is also a first-year manager, but he also has decades of coaching experience. Ross really doesn't have that. It's more of the Aaron Boone type hire where you get someone who was a recent player and, you know, not a lot of coaching experience. And let's see how it goes. Let's see how that goes. The Brewers, I think, are worst club this year. If they're going to have Christian Yelich and he's healthy, but they lost Grindahl, and I cannot remember the name of the Mariners catcher that they acquired, but he couldn't be further from Grindahl if they could have possibly tried. One of the worst pitch framers and not even that great a hitter.
Well, Braun might not even play.
Yeah.
Last I saw, he's talking about opting out.
That would be a blow, especially since he no longer has to field and he just has to hit. That'd be a real benefit for him with the DH. Cardinals, one of the best rotations in baseball. I think they still are the team to beat in the division. Especially whenever you take someone like Flaherty, who low-key could have probably competed for a Cy Young over a 162-game season. I don't really want to project what the awards are going to be over 60 because, you know, Josh Bell through his first 60 would have been in the MVP discussion last year, but over the whole year, it's like, yeah, he was good. He was a really good player, all-star, but not MVP. And the Reds. I couldn't remember the Reds. Boy, that defense is going to get a whole lot worse with Castellanos out and right and Moustakas at second base, but those are two good bats to add to the lineup. They're built on pitching and hitting, and they really don't care what happens on defense, it seems like.
Clearly,
yeah. They don't. Signing Mike Moustakas to a 4-year deal to play second base whenever he's played only a handful of games there.
Hey, good luck. He can hit.
You know what? He has proven he can hit.
Yeah. So it's going to be exciting. And I know that you're excited to be back in there. Give the listeners out there, in case they haven't checked it out yet, give us a glimpse of what's going to be different about the coverage being in the ballpark in regards to files, articles that are going to be produced. Is there going to be anything different, or you know, what's going on?
I mean, we're going to try to keep it as normal as we possibly can. We're still going to have live files. We're still going to travel. We're going to have, once the regular season starts, we're going to have some one-on-one access, which I'm looking forward to, just, you know, being able to talk to a ball player for a couple minutes and get some insight from them, especially since out of, like, the regular press conference – you know, setting, because the stuff I love to write about, you know, is a lot of mechanical, you know, mental changes, you know, changes in approach, which really doesn't always lend itself to, you know, sitting down to a Zoom call for 15 or 20 minutes. So I'm looking forward to that. The short answer is we're still going to do everything we can to provide the best coverage. I feel like I'm going to do a whole lot of those games out of those 60. So probably 50 something are going to be done by yours truly. So I'm looking forward to that. Hope other people are looking forward to that. I was really hoping this year, because I know I had those first couple months at the end of last season to introduce myself, but this was supposed to be like the real homecoming, because that was, you know, a what was called a trial basis. You know, I was trying to figure out how to actually work the site and, you know, go through all that stuff. Yep. This was supposed to be the grand, you know, debut of Alex Stumpf, the beat reporter for the site. So I'm going to try to still make it as grand as I can in this abbreviated season.
Yeah, you'll do great. I'm excited for your coverage. I know that the fans out there are excited to read your coverage. Get used to seeing his byline, because my gosh, he's going to be at almost every game, folks. So Alex, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to not only you being at PNC Park, but for the upcoming season. We'll talk again next week. Remember, everyone that's listening to this podcast, wherever you listen, make sure you follow us, whether that's iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Anchor. I could go on. We're everywhere. Look up DK Pittsburgh Sports, or, for instance, if you're looking for a specific team's podcast, just type in Steelers Podcast, Penguins Podcast, and we'll even pop up in those searches as well. Follow us so you don't miss anything. Check out DK's Daily Shot every morning. This is Back to the Tunnel, your PM show. Tomorrow, I'll be back talking hockey, talking pucks with Taylor. Check us out in the meantime. Have a great day. We'll see you. Take care.